Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Uttala, Hari Sankirtana Yajna Ki Jai, Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Jai. Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Narayanam Namaskrityam, Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tado Jayam Udire Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Ajnanasya Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vatapada Kamalam Shri Guram Vaishnavamsya, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Vatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pungum Langhayate Giram. Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 4th chapter, verse 24. My wish. Okay. Nayashya sakhyam purusho avaiti sakhya. सखा वसन संबसतः पुरे अस्मिन् गुनो यथा गुरिनो गुरिनो व्यक्त दृष्टेश तस्मै महेशय नमस्करोमि नयश्य सख्यं पुरुषो अवैति सख्या सखा वसन संबसतः पुरे अस्मिन् गुनो यथा गुनिना व्यक्त दृष्टेश तस्मै महेशाय नमस्करोमि नयश्य सख्यं पुरुषो अवैति सख्यु सखा वसन संबसतः पुरे अस्मिन् गुनो यथा गुनिनो व्यक्त दृष्टेश तस्मै महेशाय नमस्करोमि Go ahead. Last time. Last. Go ahead. Nayashya sakhyam purusho avaiti sakhyu. Sakha vasan sambasatah pure asmin. Guno yatha gunino vyakta drishtes. Tasmai Maheshaya Namaskaram. Mataji. Nayashya Sakhyam Purusho Vaiti Sakhyu. Sakha Vasan Sambasatah Pure Asmin. Guno Yatha Gunino Vyakta Drishtes. தஸ்மை மகேஷாய நமஸ்கரோமி. நா நாட் யஷ்ய ஹூஸ் சக்யம் ஃப்ரெட்டர்னிட்டி புருஷ த லிவிங் என்டிட்டி அவைதி நோஸ் சாக்யூ ஆஃப் த சுப்ரீம் ஃப்ரெண்ட் சகா த ஃப்ரெண்ட் வசன் லிவிங் சம்வசத ஆஃப் த ஒன் லிவிங் வித் புரே இன் த பாடி அஸ்மின் திஸ் குணஹ தி ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் சென்ஸ் பர்செப்ஷன் யதா ஜஸ்ட் லைக் குணினாஹ ஆஃப் இட்ஸ் ரெஸ்பெக்டிவ் சென்ஸ் ஆர்கன் வியக்த திருஷ்டே ஹூ ஓவர்சீஸ் த மெட்டீரியல் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன் தஸ்மை அன்டு ஹிம் மகா ஈஷாயா அன்டு த சுப்ரீம் கண்ட்ரோலர் நமஸ்கரோமி ஐ ஆஃபர் மை ஒபேசன்சஸ். Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the sense objects form, taste, touch, smell and sound cannot understand how the senses perceive them, so the conditioned soul, although residing in his body along with the super soul, cannot understand how the supreme spiritual person, the master of the material creation, directs his senses. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Person who is a Supreme Controller. Purport. The individual soul and the Supreme Soul live together within the body. This is confirmed in the Upanishads by the analogy that two friendly birds live in one tree, one bird eating the fruit of the tree and the other simply witnessing and directing. Although the individual living being who is compared to the bird that is eating is sitting with his friend, the Supreme Soul, the individual living being cannot see him. Actually, the Super Soul is directing the workings of the senses, of his senses, in the enjoyment of sense objects. But as the sense objects cannot see the senses, the conditioned soul cannot see the directing soul. The conditioned soul has desires and the Supreme Soul fulfills them, but the conditioned soul is unable to see the Supreme Soul. Thus Prajapati Daksha offers his obeisances to the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul, even though unable to see him. Another example given is that although ordinary citizens work under the direction of the government, they cannot understand how they are being governed or what the government is. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verse from the Skanda Purana: Yatha Ratmya Priyatvam Tu Bhritya Vedena Chatmanaha Tatho Jiva Nayat Sakhyam Veti Thasme Namostate. As the various servants in the different departments of big establishments cannot see the Supreme Managing Director, under whom they are working, the conditioned souls cannot see the Supreme Friend within their bodies. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme who is invisible to our material eyes. So we might cover more verses. So we are here in the section, the title of the chapter is the prayers, the Hamsagriha prayers offered by Prajapati Daksha. So the prayers, Prajapati Daksha has just begun reciting these prayers unto the Supreme Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam, if one researches, one will find that almost 70 to 80% of the verses in Srimad Bhagavatam are prayers. So So this is a very, very important topic, I think, which was covered in a deep way over the last Christmas, how to understand Vandanam. It is one of the limbs of devotional service, 9 limbs of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dashyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. As we will see at the end of this chapter, Prajapati Daksha, he offers his beautiful prayers, and Lord Vishnu, he comes and he offers him a benediction. Of course, he offers him a benediction according to his desires, according to his service. So one can even say once his service is according to his desires. So the motivation behind the prayers are very, very important. And the Supreme Lord, He is there within each and everyone's heart. So He knows. So that is why for all of us, it is recommended that in our initial stages of Krishna consciousness, we offer standard prayers, like Nityananda Prabhu was sharing the other day. So there are standard prayers, and there are, one can say, spontaneous prayers, which one may offer to the deities. But it is better for us to first understand the standard prayers, so we know clearly what a devotee should be aspiring for. I have not read all the prayers, Nityananda Prabhu or some others may have read. I was tempted to read all the prayers and see, but at least in the first few prayers that Prajapati Daksha, he is offering, I mean, he is glorifying. He is definitely glorifying the Supreme Lord. He is glorifying how inconceivable he is, you know, how powerful he is. And he is addressing mostly, he is addressing him by his secondary names, one can say, or his, you know, vibhutis, his opulences. But I have not read all the verses, I may be wrong. But I wonder if he offers a prayer to be engaged exclusively in pure devotional service. Not sure, as I said, I'm trying to be corrected. But our acharyas, they are right from the beginning, you know, like the first day somebody enters the temple room in the Hare Krishna movement, I mean, he gets a very clear, unequivocal message. Who am I? Who is the Supreme Lord? What is my relationship with Him? And how to reawaken that relationship? And our acharyas have written so many prayers, even Srimad Bhagavatam actually also. It glorifies pure devotional service. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam also, that is the only subject matter actually, Srimad Bhagavatam, pure devotional service. So we can, you know, follow in the footsteps of these great acharyas, our standard prayers. They are telling us what we should pray, how we should pray, and to whom we should pray. So I thought this is an important point to mention to begin with. Now we will, you know, go into a little bit of the purport here. So here, there was a very similar verse in the earlier chapter when Yamaraj is speaking to the Yamadutas. Some very similar, where he says, just like how there are different senses, the different senses, they cannot see the eyes, but the eyes can see the other senses. So something similar here is being mentioned here. As the sense objects, form, taste, touch, smell and sound cannot understand how the senses perceive them, so the conditioned soul although residing in his body along with the Supreme Soul, Super Soul, cannot understand how the Supreme Spiritual Person, the Master of the material creation, directs his senses. So, this is a nice topic here. How do we, conceive that personality who is inconceivable? So later on in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes, Ataha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Krayam Indriye Sevan Mukhehi Jibhado Swayam Meva Spurati Adaha. So that which is inconceivable, how to conceive him? Conceive that. So there are two ways of acquiring knowledge. One is the ascending way of acquiring knowledge, and the other is the descending way of acquiring knowledge. And we understand from the scriptures and from our own experience as well that the ascending way of acquiring knowledge, we fall short. At some point or the other, we fall short. And we are still puzzled and bewildered. Or we have to take shelter of something higher. And there is another way of understanding that which is inconceivable. That is the descending way. Where through Shabda Pramana, the Supreme Lord, He reveals Himself through His scriptures. But how does one access the scriptures? So one accesses the scriptures through a Vaishnava, through a devotee of the Lord. So there is Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So these three things are required, for us to conceive that personality who is inconceivable. And of course, a devotion, obviously. Prabhupada says in one of his purports that one cannot challenge an authority and at the same time expect to understand him. So this can apply to anyone, the Supreme Lord or, our authorities. Or anyone for that matter, basically. Even if I want to understand the devotee, even a new devotee, if I want to understand him, if I challenge him, or if I have an attitude towards him which is challenging, I cannot understand him. In a way, I have access to the devotee's heart as much as the devotee will reveal himself to me, and as much as Krishna will reveal to me for my service. So both the factors are there. So the same thing applies. To understand the Supreme Lord, we have to approach Him in devotion, in a non-challenging way. And the Supreme Lord, He reveals Himself either directly or through His representatives. So the same principle applies for devotees also. If you want to build intimate relationships, build relationships with devotees, we need their help. We need their help that they reveal their heart to us. We are not omniscient, we are not super soul that we know everything that's happening in the hearts of all the devotees. So we depend on the devotees, we depend on Krishna for our service. So here this verse is describing that one may be able to perceive somehow or the other, even if one is able to perceive the soul, it is very difficult to perceive the super soul. But Srila Prabhupada has taught us that, from, as I said, from day one in the Krishna consciousness movement, this is known by a person who walks in. Prabhupada teaches us that self-realization and God-realization, they go together. They go together. So there is Sambandha Gyan, there is who am I? Who is the Supreme Lord? What is my relationship with Him? And how to act in that relationship, how to reawaken that relationship, the process of devotional service. So we are very, very fortunate that we have, the means to access, you know, that personality who is inconceivable, pure devotional service. So that's the message. That's the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So now continuing. The individual soul and supreme soul live together within the body. This is confirmed in the Upanishads by the analogy that two friendly birds live in one tree, one bird eating the fruit of the tree and the other simply witnessing and directing. Although the individual living being who is compared to the bird that is eating is sitting with his friend, the supreme soul, the individual living being cannot see him. So the word, you know, Sakya comes three times in this short verse, friend. So here Prabhupada is explaining that there are two birds sitting on the tree. One bird is busy eating the fruits and the other bird is directing the workings of the bird that is eating. Is pratyaksha and anumanta. The living entity, the super soul here, he is in a friendly disposition towards the living entity. But he doesn't interfere with the free will of the living entity. So the two birds are sitting on the tree. And when the living entity, when this bird, Prabhupada explains, when this bird that is busy engaging in eating and enjoying the fruits, but somehow or the other, when it turns to the super soul, to the other bird, you know, then in a way this connection of bhakti is established. When it turns, so there is a, or there is a desire to turn, if there is a desire to turn, then a devotee comes into our life. Brahmanda Brahmide Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. So we are just like the bird in the tree. It is going from one tree to the next tree to the next tree to the next tree, enjoying its fruits, ignoring the super soul. But somehow or the other, Yadrichaya, when there is a desire to connect, then Krishna, you know, sends a devotee into that person's life. And then one's, you know, spiritual life begins. So again, the point I'm making here is, by our own effort, we cannot, you know, establish a relationship. The same thing that Jai Jagannath Prabhu and, you know, has been explaining in the earlier chapters. That we need the devotee. There is Bhagavan, there is Bhakti, and there is Bhakta. There are these three potencies that he's been talking about. So we need a Bhakta to connect us to Bhakti. We can't do it ourselves. So we can pause here for some time and see if there is any discussion or comments or questions. Yeah, Himanshu Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. I'm just thinking about this in the purport, the way it describes that the sense object cannot see the senses.
Sense objects?
The sense object cannot see the senses.
Yeah.
Just like the soul cannot see the super soul. This idea was popping into my head that the senses deal with the sense objects according to the sense object. Right? So, because the senses are the ones in control, so they're dealing with the sense object according to whatever the sense object is. The eyes see a glass, then the senses know how to deal with it. The eyes see a table, the senses know how to deal with it. So it seems like it's interesting, there is this, you were bringing this out in your discussion also, but maybe you could speak about it just a little bit more, this dynamic of what it is that the soul, at a certain point the super soul sees the soul and then reacts to it, and at a certain point he doesn't. You know, seeing what the soul is manifesting. You know what I'm saying?
Last part. Repeat the last part.
The super soul is seeing the soul at all times.
Super soul is seeing the soul, okay.
But he only engages at a certain point. I guess when the soul is ready, or in this analogy, the sense object is can be utilized or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that point when the super soul begins to take attention of the soul in a very serious kind of way? And starts to use him or whatever, deal with him.
Nice point. We will read, if you have Bhagavad Gita, 342. You know, Prabhupada explains this in Bhagavad Gita. This is a very famous verse. Above the sense objects are the senses. Above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence. And above the intelligence is the soul. One second. So your question, just so I repeat the question and I make sure I get it properly. So you're saying, the verse here is saying that the sense objects, they cannot see the senses. But the senses, when they see the sense objects, they know how to interact with that sense object. Okay? So similarly, it seems that the super soul is looking at the soul. But when does the super soul really begin to take interest in the soul? Is that what?
Or rather, it's like, you know, we see certain sense objects, we have nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how to use it, it has nothing to do with us. But then we see certain sense objects and we feel, I can use this, it's mine. So I'm saying, when does that happen? Because everything is actually conditioned. So just saying that, you know, we see certain sense objects and we can't necessarily use them. We can't use everything that we see with our senses. So similarly, Krishna, the super soul, is seeing the soul, but only establishes that connection of maybe interacting with the soul at a certain point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So before that, so there is an important element here. In 342, Prabhupada explains this actually. So firstly, when senses, they see some sense objects, as you're saying. When they see some sense objects, they interact in a particular way, and some sense objects, they don't interact in a particular way. So here Prabhupada writes in the Prabhupada 342 that these ideas about, you know, happiness or distress, enjoying or suffering, they are stored in the mind. So here in the purport, Prabhupada writes, so depending on what is my conception on the subtle plane, so then when my senses, when they see a particular sense object, that's how they'll interact, for example. You follow? So this is, I mean, one can see it, you know, from a devotional standpoint also. For example, yesterday as we were discussing Ramananda Rai, when he was, you know, interacting with the young, you know, Devidasis, he didn't see what others may have seen. So one can say that impression is not there in the mind, but one can also say that actually he is completely acting on the soul platform. He's on the soul platform. So he's not seeing he's not even seeing the body. He's not seeing the body of the Devidasi. He sees her as a spirit soul who is to be engaged in the service of Krishna. So the thought of, you know, that being a sense object does not even come. So Prabhupada writes us in 342. Here he says, but above the mind is the determination of the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul proper. If therefore the soul is directly engaged with the Supreme, naturally all other subordinates, namely the intelligence, mind and senses, will be automatically engaged. So this devotional service, it engages, we are directly acting, it is acting on the soul platform. It is acting on the soul platform, of course, but then devotional service also means that we are engaging our working senses, our knowledge acquiring senses, our mind our intelligence, everything we are engaging in the service of the Lord. Yeah. I'll read something further in this purport. Prabhupada writes, the Katha Upanishad, it gives a different rendering, a little bit of a different rendering. So in the Katha Upanishad, there is a similar passage in which it is said that the objects of sense gratification are superior to the senses. And the mind is superior to the sense objects. So this is, you know, this is nice to understand this. So the Bhagavad Gita is saying, above the sense objects are the senses. Above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence. The Katha Upanishad is stating it slightly differently. It's saying, above the senses are the sense objects. But above the sense objects are the mind. So Prabhupada is writing, so if one directly engages the mind in the service of the Lord, then there is no problem. On the other hand, if you go with Katha Upanishad, if you just engage our senses in the objects of the senses, but we don't bring our mind, then a purification does not happen. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes in the commentary, 18th chapter Bhagavad Gita, that this is the reason why, you know, devotees fall down. You know, when we just bring our working and knowledge acquiring senses into the realms of devotional service, but we don't bring, you know, the mind into the realms of devotional service. So as Krishna also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, this, the lust, it resides in different places, right? There are the working senses, there are knowledge acquiring senses, the mind, the intelligence, and in that purpose Prabhupada writes, so the mind is a central, you know, switchboard, so to speak. So if the mind is not also brought to, you know, into devotional service, then there is always this, you know, accident on the royal road, Prabhupada writes, waiting to happen. Yeah. I've not fully answered his question yet, but go ahead. Yeah.
Say that again.
Hare Krishna, is the verse also talking about teamwork?
Which verse? Are you talking Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam? Which? Teamwork in what sense? Can you explain? No, he didn't use the mic, I think.
Three forty-two. Could we have the translation one more time?
342.
Or the Srimad
Bhagavatam
verse. 624.
624. 624. Okay. Yeah. Right. Translation. As the sense objects, form, taste, touch, smell, and sound cannot understand how the senses perceive them, so the conditioned soul, although residing in his body, along with the super soul, cannot understand how the supreme spiritual person, the master of the material creation, directs his senses. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that supreme person, who is a supreme controller. Yeah.
Could you go a little bit further into the purport? I think a few sentences.
Purport to the sentence. Which
there was something there about helping, like
about
helping, or maybe that was your speech that I'm just remembering from the beginning of the class. Was, you said something like helping. I don't know.
Yes, Prabhu.
I mean, just a side note, it's not so much about teamwork, it's more like hide and seek here, because Krishna is not perceivable. This prayers, the Hamsa Guhya prayers, yesterday we heard Daksha offering certain phrases about Krishna. That the discussion yesterday was Paraya Anubhutaye, that he is transcendental, and we ended the class with, just as the sunshine is needed to understand the sun, Similarly, the energy of the Lord is necessary to understand the Lord. So Daksha is now explaining that. He is elaborating on that foundational principle. So that first principle is, although the Lord resides in His own abode, which is not accessible, which cannot even be perceived by a conditioned soul, at the same time He is residing in the heart, who is very close to us. Right? So in Ishopanishad we hear, He is very far, yet very near. So this is that simultaneously He is inaccessible, yet accessible. He is accessible because He is in the heart. The only issue is, the soul cannot perceive Him, just as the senses cannot perceive, or the sense objects cannot perceive the senses. The reason being that the sense objects are grosser, and something gross cannot understand something subtle. And the subtler it gets, the more difficult it is. So the Lord is residing in the most subtle existence, and the conditioned soul is existing in a gross condition and therefore cannot access. So that's the analogy as I've understood.
Yeah.
So the question was, does Krishna look at the super soul? He looks at the soul or does not, certain conditions? Okay, so what was the question?
Super soul, yeah. When does the super soul turn?
Yeah, that was the question. Because the senses, they utilize certain sense objects, they don't, based on certain conceptions and certain, for example, like a computer, you know, someone doesn't even know how to use it, they just stay away from it. So then the super soul is also watching the soul, but we see at some point he decides to use the soul, or gets involved with the soul, and at other points he refrains. So then the question was, at what point does he actually engage, use?
Yeah, so it desire, when there is a desire in the living entity, when there is a desire in the living entity to begin to act in the relationship with the Supreme Lord, then the super soul reciprocates in that way. So going back to the example, the super soul, it has the potency to engage the soul, or the engage the coverings of the soul also. Anyways, Krishna doesn't get directly involved. Through the material energy, he engages the coverings of the soul. But if the soul wants to be engaged on the soul platform with the super soul, then He reciprocates. And so that's why it is an ongoing, it's a moment-to-moment thing. Oh, you want to act on the soul platform? Sure, I'll help you. Then 10, Yadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenama Upayantite Tesham Satata Yukta Nam Bharitam Priti Purvakam Yadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenama Upayantite. So it begins with the living entities, exercising their free will to serve Krishna. So super soul doesn't intervene, but this is where, so what's the way out? Yadrichaya is one, but the other is, Prabhupada says, that the super soul doesn't intervene, but the devotees are even more merciful than the super soul. The devotees, they intervene sometimes. So how does it begin? How does bhakti begin? That's almost your question. How does bhakti begin? Bhakti begins by coming in contact with the bhakta. That's how it begins.
May I?
Sure, yeah.
The way you framed your question, it's not like the super soul doesn't engage with the soul. The super soul is engaging with the soul at all times. At all times. There's no time where the super soul doesn't engage with the soul. How the super soul engages depends upon the disposition of the soul. Because Krishna says, in the 15th chapter, I'm residing in everyone's heart, and from me comes knowledge, remembrance, memory, forgetfulness. So he's always engaging. Yet, he's always neutral. He's engaging, but he's neutral. If the super soul doesn't engage with the soul cannot do one thing.
Yeah.
Because the senses, the mind, the intelligence, they're all Krishna's energies. The soul has no ability to move those energies without the super soul's sanction. So he's always engaging. And then, ye yatha mam prapadyante, depending on the disposition, he engages in one way or the another way. It's not like he disengages from the soul. If he did, we wouldn't be existing. I mean, it's spiritually impossible.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So that's why this purport can be misleading. 624, further if you read. Sorry, my version. Can you read further, 624, further, somebody? Yeah, pop over. This verse, 24. Yeah, although the individual living being who is compared to the bird that is eating, is sitting with his friend, the Supreme Soul, the individual living being cannot see him. Actually, the super soul is directing the workings of his senses in the enjoyment of sense objects. But as these sense objects... Yeah, so just stay with that sentence. So this does not mean, it's a super soul issue. Actually, I want to engage in devotional service, but the super soul is engaging me in pursuing sense gratification. No. It's not like we should not interpret that sentence in that way. It depends on what is our disposition. The super soul is neutral. It facilitates, it allows. If your disposition is that you want to enjoy the objects of the senses, you want to eat the fruits, fine, sure, you can do that. But if you want to engage in my service, I will facilitate that also. So the free will is always operative. It's not that we don't have free will. Yeah. Okay. Next sentence he says. Yeah, but as these objects cannot see the senses, the conditioned soul cannot see the directing soul. The conditioned soul has desires and the super soul fulfills them. But the conditioned soul is unable to see the Supreme Soul. So the conditioned soul has desires and the super soul fulfills them. So depending on the desire, if the desire, for example, if the desire is for mixed devotional service, sure, I'll satisfy the desire for mixed devotional service. If your desire is for pure devotional service, I will satisfy that desire. If your desire is for no devotional service, I'll satisfy that also. So, it's the living entity's desire, is very important. Yeah, Jitendra Prabhu? Microphone.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank purport, in Prabhupada says, below that, he says, another example given is that the ordinary citizens under the direction of the government, they cannot understand how they're being governed. Or what the government is, but I mean, when we were in high school, we took a civics class, and that was to teach us, the judicial, the administrative, and the legislative departments of the government. So they want you to understand the government, but here it seems like it's kind of contradicting. But I mean, we don't know what's going on really, We're taught the formation of the government and how it works, but we don't know how we're being cheated, But yeah. That just kind of came to mind.
Yeah. And in yesterday's purport that we had, Prabhupada writes that all one may or may not understand, but if one has faith, then one can accept. Because everything is not within our capacity to understand. But there is faith that there is a higher, that the Supreme Lord. And in a way, that little bit of faith can take us further and further and further and further and further. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you for clarifying that. Like, for instance, you were mentioning, like, okay, the example I gave is like, okay, if I see an apple and I want the apple, then, you know, the senses doesn't go and interact with the apple, but the body interacts. So the similar that you're explaining, that the super soul is directing the workings of his senses. I think that's the key point. But I really like the idea you alluded to previously, about, you know, linking with bhakta to, and that was like the teamwork aspect that I got out of it. I don't know, the teamwork just popped in my mind when you had begun your discourse. Like, for instance, Derek Prabhu always invites for the Harinam, and the temple administration is allowing the Harinam, so, but there are certain rules for it, so Himanshu Prabhu is going to brief us on that, you know. I won't be there today, unfortunately, but I really like this one. It's very nice.
Oh yeah, of course. We cannot do anything alone. Bhakti cannot be practiced alone. Yeah. And as you were reading, there is the word 3 times in this verse, basically. Yeah. So we need, you know, super soul is our suhrit friend. Then we need friends here. Vaishnavas are our friends. Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adharma Janra Bandhu. The friend of the fallen. So definitely, you know, teamwork is, you know, without bhakti is never done alone. Yeah, Paramakaruna.
Very much, Prabhu. Just a quick clarification for this. It's not clarification, I'm just trying to adding something. Like, there's a 2 verses in Bhagavad Gita, 2:13, Natveham Jatu Nasam, it really, and the 2:22, that is one sansa jivani yatha vihaya. In the same verse, there is a verse from Svetashvara Upanishad that Samana Vruksha Purusha Nimagno, there are 2 birds. And it's written that although 2 birds are in the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and morosness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. But if in some way or other he turns his face to his friend, the Lord, and knows his glories, at once the suffering bird becomes free from all the anxieties. So it's clarified this.
So?
So I was just trying to add this. It is clarified.
Add, yeah. Exactly, yeah. So somehow or the other, Yadrachaya, yeah. Somehow or the other, this eating bird turns, and as we have been discussing, the Supreme Lord's mercy, it follows the devotee's mercy. So somehow or the other, a devotee becomes interested in somebody. I mean, the Supreme Lord is always interested in everyone. But this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's right finding. Then why doesn't everybody engage in bhakti? Krishna is all merciful, so why doesn't everybody engage in bhakti? How does somebody perform bhakti, and why does somebody perform bhakti, and why does somebody not perform bhakti? So this living entity has a desire, and then there is a representative of the Lord that he somehow or the other he comes in contact with, and then his bhakti begins.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Prabhu, you in the beginning of the lecture, you use that we get an unequivocal message. The person come to the temple for the first time, he get an unequivocal message of pure devotional service. That's a very broad term, pure devotion. So can you just elaborate this thing? What is unequivocal message related to the pure devotional service?
Well, like Srimad Bhagavatam, the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly saying that the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam is not Kaitava Dharma. It is only one, pure devotional service. Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Gyara Karmadi Anavratam Anukuliyana Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Ruttama. So, our acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada Goswami, he did not pull this verse out of the sky, Anya Bhilashita Shunyam. He based it on Srimad Bhagavatam. So when I say unequivocal message, what it means is whether you hear from Bhagavad Gita, whether you read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita purports, or you read Isopanishad, or you read Nectar of Instruction, if you read any of the Bhaktivedanta purports, you will get an unequivocal. You understand unequivocal means? Unequivocal means not ambiguous. Is the goal of life this, or the goal of life this? The goal of life is one, to serve Krishna. But again, how to serve Krishna? So it's more refined also. With no material intentions in an unmotivated, uninterrupted way. That is the goal of life, pure devotional service. So he gets a clear message from day one. So that's what I meant. And pure devotional service, what is pure devotional service? Sarva upari nirmuktam tatparatva nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. So in this context, being free from all designations, I'm not, you know, this body, I'm not Indian, I'm not American, I'm not a doctor, whatever, no, neither am a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, you know, or Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So any designation that we can think about, we are all spirit souls. Sarva upadhi nirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha. Rishikesha is the controller of the senses. Ritik, Isha. Ritik is the senses, Isha is the controller of the senses. Vesevanam bhakti ruchyate, bhakti ruchyate. So pure devotional service is engaging the senses, the working, the knowledge acquiring, mind, intelligence, everything in the service of Krishna. That is being free from false designations. The root of all false designations is, I am this body. And then the sub-designations go after that. I'm a man, I'm a woman, you know, so these are all, there are so many other designations. But the root is I'm the body, I'm not the spirit soul. So that's pure devotional service. Anything else, anyone? So if there is nothing else, I think we'll end here, 30. Anything from the last, in a verse that Madhvacharya comments, quotes, Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya, says, as the various servants in the different departments of big establishments cannot see the Supreme Managing Director under whom they are working, the conditioned souls cannot see the Supreme Friend sitting within their bodies. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the Super Soul who is invisible to our material eyes. But there is a way to perceive that which is inconceivable. Ataha Shri Krishna Madhi na bhavet grahyam indriyai. Sevan mukhehi jubhadav swayameva spurati adha. The Supreme Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes, na bhavet grahyam indriye, they cannot be understood by these blunt material senses. But na bhavet grahyam indriye, sevan mukhehi jubhadav, but somehow or the other, beginning with the tongue, jubha means the tongue, adav means the beginning with the tongue, sevan mukhe. If one begins to engage in the service of Krishna, beginning with the tongue, swayam eva spuratyada, so from within, or you know, the mystical process of devotional service, bhakti yoga, one understands, one can grahayam. So that which is inconceivable becomes conceivable through the process of devotional service. Beginning with the tongue, and the tongue has two main functions, vibrating and tasting different things, Prabhupada explains. So we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, engage the tongue in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Krishna Katha, and eating Krishna Prasadam. So just the simple process of engaging the tongue, the devotional service begins. And this is the same thing as mentioned in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Prasadam prayers. Sharira avidya jal. Jodendriya tahe kal. Jive phele vishaya sagare taramathye jivati. Sharira avidya jal. So this body is a lump of ignorance. Avidya jal. Network of illusion. Avidya jal. Jodendriya tahe kal. Taramathye jivati. But somehow, and somehow I have fallen into this ocean of material, you know, existence. But somehow or the other, and among all these tongues, the tongue, among all these senses, the tongue is the most voracious one. And so if I begin by engaging this tongue in the service of Krishna, Taramati Jivati, Lohumai Sarmati, Takijata Katina Samsare, you know, this is a very material existence is very, very difficult. Takijata Katina Samsare. But Krishna Bradayamai, but Krishna is very, very merciful. Krishna Bradayamai. Kori Bhare Jivha Jai. And he has given us a simple way to conquer our tongue. Jivha Jai. Jai means to be victorious. Jivha means the tongue. So the easy way to be victorious of the tongue. Taramati Jivati, Lohumati Sarmati. Takijata Katina Samsare. Krishna Bradayamai, Kori Bhare Jivha Jai. Swa Prashad Annadi Labhai. So he's given us this prasadam, swaprasad. Swaprasad means his own prasadam, his own mercy is given. Swaprasad, anna dilabhai. And he's given it in the form of, in this verse he's saying, anna, prasadam, grains one can say, or non-grains, ekadashi. Krishna's mercy is in different kinds. Prasada means mercy actually, not just prasadam, mercy. Swaprasad, anna dilabhai. And then he's saying, so eat prasadam. And Premi Dako Sri Chaitanya Nithai. And with love, Premi Dako. Dako means call out. Call out the names of Chaitanya Nithai. Premi Dako Sri Chaitanya Nithai. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. So Sevan Mukhehi Jivhadav. That which is inconceivable becomes conceivable by engaging the senses, beginning with the tongue and the ear, Shravanam Kirtanam. Okay? So we want. That's what I wanted to say. Anything more? Otherwise, we'll end here. Yeah, Acharya Nishtha Prabhu. So, so think about it. As you take prasadam today, or you're going on Harinam, it's an amazing opportunity, you know, to engage our tongue in the service of Krishna, or even when we are speaking to the devotees. So, speech should be such that it should elevate somebody's consciousness. That's the only purpose of the speech. That's why speech should be used. Whether it's kirtanam, even simple talk, you know, that's how it should be used. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. I just wanted to share one realization I had that throughout the Bhagavatam and a lot of these prayers, we're hearing that the Lord is inconceivable, that He is invisible to the conditioned soul. So we get the idea that he's kind of like hiding. He's hiding, kind of like Himanshu's question. But the real point is that it's like that for us because we've developed this envious mentality, you know, ichit dvesha smutina. So Krishna's just reciprocating because we're so used to being in material existence. I just feel like sometimes we're putting it on Krishna. He's not appearing to us. But really Krishna's just reciprocating with us out of our so much envy. And Krishna, he has to hide himself from us because we're not able to. Whereas in the case of a devotee, Krishna, he's naturally revealing himself. That's the natural position. Because we've been in material existence so long, we can't see, even though he's everywhere and everything. Yeah. It's we that have created this boundary, built the wall. I just wanted to show
you. Correct, yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada, I see Krishna everywhere. Yeah. And there is one other word here, actually, which I could have focused, maybe spend a little bit of time. This is there in the translation. What is it? Vyakta drishtes, right? Vyakta drishtes. Who oversees the material manifestation. So, there is one beautiful term that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses. Which connects to what you're saying. He calls it drishta vichar. No? That is drishya, that is drishta and drishya, the seer and the seen. The famous, you know, essay that Bhakti Siddhanta writes, the seer and the seen. So the living entity, like this bird example that was given, the living entity, the bird is thinking that he is the seer and everything that he sees is for his enjoyment. Everything else becomes the scene. But the fact is, actually he is the scene and the seer is the super soul. So it's a small difference, but it makes a world of difference. That's Krishna consciousness and not Krishna consciousness. So like Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he thought he was the seer and everything that is there for him is to be enjoyed by him. He thought everything is the seen. So he got the mercy of Lord Narasimhadev in one way. And on the other hand, Prahlad, he considered himself to be the seen. And Lord Narasimhadev was a seer. And so he got the mercy of Lord Narasimhadev in another way. So this is how it is. So the devotee, he sees, as we read in the 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, he sees that everything that he sees is a paraphernalia for devotional service. Everything he sees is a paraphernalia for devotional service, becomes a paraphernalia for devotional service. And the person who wants to enjoy, everything becomes a paraphernalia for his enjoyment. So what's the difference? It's the difference is the consciousness. That's drishta vichar, seer and seen. There's a nice essay written by Bhaktisiddhanta. Okay, thank you all very much. Yeah, Chandri, last.
I went by a church the other day and it said, feel far from God? ? And then it said, who moved? So
feel apart from God, is it?
Feel far from God? And then below, that was a question.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It said, below that it says, who moved?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So we have turned our attention away from Krishna. But anyway, there's hope we can. Devotees are merciful, Krishna is very merciful. And just our intention, our desire, you know, if we keep it pure, you know, surely He will bring us, you know, back to Him, surely. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.